Welcome to the first episode of Just Try It On. I'm Paul Fishman, a personal stylist on a mission to empower you to use fashion as a tool to build confidence, self-acceptance, and joy in your life. This show is inspired by my journey of trying on different outfits, feelings, careers, and even cities to explore personal expression. Oh, and the audio is just the beginning. Make sure to head to Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube at Paul X Luxury and check out all the fun outfits I style my guests in. Today, we are joined by Bishop Briggs, an artist known for her powerhouse vocals, raw emotion, and anthemic hits. With over 3 billion streams and a multi-platinum hit to her name, Bishop has carved out a space in the music world that blends soul, rock, and unfiltered storytelling. From growing up in Tokyo and Hong Kong, where she first discovered music as a source of solace, to breaking out with her massive hit River, she has built a career on fearless self-expression. In this conversation, we'll explore the personal reckoning behind her new album, Tell My Therapist I'm Fine, how grief and resilience have fueled her songwriting, and why you are never a burden, even if it might feel that way. Bishop also opens up about her mental health journey, becoming a mother, what type of fashion she loves, and how music has been a lifeline through it all. Please join me in celebrating the first episode of Just Try It On, and stick around until the end for a very special gift from Bishop. Bishop Briggs, welcome. Just Try It On.
Thank you so much. It is the coolest thing ever to be here.
Oh my goodness. I'm so honored to have you here. Styling you was so much fun. Like, pulling for you was so exciting. And FYI, you are a Loewe girl. Like, this is, Loewe is the moment for you.
It's really good on you. Tell me a little bit about your journey with fashion, like personal style. Like, how has that been for you?
Well, I do think upbringing can have something to do with it, because I think you are always mentally trying to impress the 13-year-old you that potentially didn't have access to any sort of clothing. And it's kind of whoever you were idolizing at that time. I think there is a lot of risk-taking in Japanese fashion that I was always drawn to. But then you go into, so I was born in 92. So it's like the era of Vivienne Westwood, and it's continuous, obviously, but it's just Betsy Johnson, like early 2000s, and there was an electric thing going on. There might have also been like drugs involved, obviously, like at these shows, but I just mean there was this energy with the clothing and the fashion shows, and I've always been drawn to that, and even vintage Jean-Paul Gaultier. Oh my gosh, those runway shows, there was just such an art to them. And so I was always drawn to them. And I found myself chasing that a lot.
And do you feel like fashion inspires anything within your music?
Oh, for sure. They have to be interchangeable, I think, in some ways. I think a big thing I've noticed is just how much it can make you feel like yourself again. I've had a baby, and you get kind of used to wearing whatever you are quickly throwing on. You know, you're taking care of a newborn, you're running around, and I've found that when I take a moment and get to put together an outfit, it sounds so simple, but you really get to return to yourself and your spirit. And a big thing I enjoy is actually styling my little baby, which he doesn't ask for, but probably one day he'll be like, please don't stop me. But using it as a form of expression has always been my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. I love, and also like styling your little one, it's kind of like giving you this opportunity to find joy in putting other people in clothes. And does he experience any emotion when you're putting clothes?
That is really funny, because whenever I do take a risk, like there was these yellow tights I wore the other day.
We saw them. We loved them.
Oh my God. Okay.
Of course.
Oh my God. Perfect. Okay. Those yellow tights, my baby was like, what is this? Like, you're like touching them. He's like, what is this? And I was like, it's some tights. I'm just trying them out or whatever. And he was transfixed by them. So whenever I do take a fashion risk, there are a lot of follow-up questions. I wore pleather pants the other day, and he just couldn't get over the texture. He was like, what's the decision here? Like, what is this? So there are a lot of questions that are going on in the household of the two-year-old, but I try to answer them as best I can.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. It's cool to hear the curiosity.
I know.
Because I just love the way clothes can transform.
Yes.
So you have a new album.
Yes.
And I'm obsessed with it. I had the opportunity to listen to it.
Oh, my God. It's called Tell My Therapist I'm Fine.
Are you fine?
I would say right this second I am, just because, like, you know, the love in my life. Yeah, I would say.
The title of the album really got me thinking, because I'm like, okay, therapist, tell, find, means like, are we not going to therapy? Are we just like, or like, what's the behind the scenes about that?
Well, the first track on the album is this song called My Serotonin. And it's a lyric from that song, which is, tell my therapist I'm fine. I'm done lying all the time because I'm not fucking fine. And I found myself going to therapy and not really divulging what exactly was going on in my life, which is such a waste of money. I don't recommend anyone to do this. But it's a coping mechanism, and it's people pleasing, and it's all the things. And obviously, by, you know, 20 minutes in, you, like, the therapist has completely cracked you. And, you know, but it was sort of talking about this idea of communicating with anyone that we meet and not sharing our full truth, whatever that may be. And the whole album conceptually really is about this journey of being a human and the lessons that I've learned along the way. And one of the things that I'm really trying to leave in the past are these things that we carry as women, you know, that I want to undo so many things that I've felt throughout the years. Yeah.
Tell me about some of the things that you feel as a woman.
Well, I came up before the Me Too movement.
Okay.
So that was an experience. Shout out to all the men at that time. Don't miss you. And the Me Too movement really changed my life. I fired everyone that I worked with, and kept all the feminists, mm-hmm. you know, and I still work with them to this day. Mm-hmm. But I had no concept of how inappropriate the behavior was. I was so used to it. And so any, you know, it doesn't have to be in music. It doesn't have to be creative. Any sort of field, your gut is screaming. If your gut is screaming at you, you know, it's not like that in the real world. You know, that doesn't have to be your reality, you know. And I remember in leaving those relationships and negative situations within work, it was like my world went from completely black and white to like being able to see color again. And that was really, yeah, a game changer. So the Me Too movement was everything. Yeah. Should be able to share our stories and yeah. And also, I mean, there were so many incredible men that came forward during that time too, which isn't spoken about enough either. And yeah, so.
It's really like important, I think, just to remember all
this.
And because so many things happen over and over and over and over, and we get so caught up in the social media. It's just like everything's moving.
Yes.
But like to like sit in our bodies and kind of just remember these experiences that we've been through. Like,
yes.
As a generation, we've been
right.
so much together.
Right.
And, you know, as I was listening to the album, I really felt like, and knowing a little bit more about you and your story and what you've been through over the past few years, like it really just felt like, you know, a journey through like grief and
yeah.
healing.
Oh,
and grief is such a bitch.
I know.
It's like, and I don't like just channeling, moving through, like, what do you have any advice for anyone who's listening, who's going through something either that's like unwilling to feel the grief mm. or just like how you got through it?
I mean, I think it was really freeing to realize that grief will always live alongside of you, yeah. but your coping mechanisms should evolve and change and hopefully support you. I think the biggest change that, or I guess the biggest thing I'd want to share, just because my life, I mean, I wouldn't be here if I didn't know this, but just knowing that the people around you want to support you. They want to they want to be there for you. You're not a burden to them. I think something I didn't know about suicidal ideation was that I think I had been raised and told that it was very selfish. And in being in the depths of that darkness, I learned it's actually you feel like such a burden to those around you. You feel the most negative, that you don't feel like you're serving anyone. And so you think it would be better with you not there. So I think in terms of advice, I would just say reach out to the people you love and know that you're not alone. Yeah, in the pain. Because also the system is so, it's not like, how do I say this? Like one of the most game-changing things was having a conversation with my husband about what my plan was. It was horrible. It was a horrible conversation. And I technically, you know, say I had shared that with a therapist, with the way the system is set up, that therapist would then have to report. Mm. You know, I would maybe be sent away. I mean, it's, and I'm so grateful that I had that moment and space with my partner to spell it out and find holes in the story. Like my husband walking in on me, would I want that? And it's like, oh my God, no. Like I'm just doing this thing. It's not involving you. And it's like, no, but how would you be found or whatever? I mean, it makes me like a little emotional talking about it, but that conversation truly saved me. Yeah. Being able to talk it through, you know?
Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, it's okay.
It's really, I think it's really important for people to know that they're not alone. No. As I like to say, you are worth it.
Yes.
You deserve it. And you are not alone. But you're wicked.
Exactly.
That's something really important too. It's like asking for what you need, asking for the support.
So hard.
It's so hard because, again, and just recently going through something, like moving through some really challenging things in my personal life and witnessing the fear of the judgment of just like telling my partner.
Oh, like, I know.
I struggle. I'm struggling with this.
Yeah.
And being like, and of course, like when we had the conversation, he was just like, hello, I love you.
I know.
I'm here for you.
Oh.
But we get caught up in our head.
Yes.
And
again, this, I mean, and I'm so glad you shared that too, because it really is, it's a universal human experience of like the fear of being a burden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, looping this back into the concept of dressing and clothing, it's like sometimes personal expression, we feel like we're going to be judged.
Yes.
We're going to be a burden by showing up in like a body that doesn't fit the normal fashion norm.
Right.
Or like wearing mismatched colors.
Yes.
And I think that like overall, personal expression is not a burden.
Right, right.
And the fact that we're made to even think that.
Yes.
Is really sad.
I know. And it also is, I mean, every generation has such a crazy experience. You know, we've all grown up seeing different things, but I know that there was so much surrounding weight when I was growing up, being so thin, you know, to that degree. I've found it really empowering recently, like, if there is, you know, maybe like my stomach is sticking out a little bit or my arms are doing whatever, like my arms are existing, like God forbid, I know, like should they exist? But say they're existing, keeping the photo, posting the photo, you know, doing it anyways, because it's the body dysmorphia is so real and it's like so rampant and it's not a reality of anything. Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit more about your album?
Yes.
So one of my other favorite songs, so My Serotonin is my absolute favorite, like, and I'm so happy that it's like the first track, so I can hit it every time.
Oh, yeah.
My personal serotonin. But I also really related to the I Am Not a Machine. And I love the glitch.
Yes.
Did you think about?
Yes. No, no, that was the producer.
Oh, my God.
Leroy Clampett.
So good.
I when he did that, I freaked out. Yes, I was like, this is the song. This is, yes. Yeah. I was obsessed.
Oh, yeah. Top two for sure.
Thank you.
You know, more on the conversation we're having about like, you're not a machine.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I know, like, I could just really feel your journey throughout the entire thing, you know, and like, and another thing that I really love about your album is it's not made for social media success in like a really beautiful way. It's something that I really struggle with. It's like every song, it's like good for 15 seconds.
Right.
So I'm just like, ah,
I know.
It's a really challenging world.
But I fall in love with songs. I always fall in love with the 15 seconds. And it's, sometimes I get tricked. Yeah. I always get tricked. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The worst part, I think, is like when you fall in love with an artist and they're like teasing their new yes. album. Yeah. And then I go and I'm just like, well, 15 seconds out of these 12 songs was all I like.
Oh, my God.
You know, yeah. We love controversy.
We do.
We love to dress controversially, to just show up as our most authentic selves. I think that the fear of other people's judgment or opinions, or like we say, FOPO,
yeah.
is other people's opinions,
oh.
is what really gets us in trouble.
100%. I also think it's interesting that you, not to analyze you, but I think it's interesting that you relate to I'm not a machine, because you're someone where I feel a big part of what you do is like being on and like bringing the energy and bringing the joy and also keeping a neutral experience when someone is liking or not liking something. You know, you sort of have to bounce back every single time. And I do think, you know, it's obviously very clear in what you do, but I think there's a lot of different versions of that where people have this feeling that they have to be on all the time. And it's really exhausting.
Yeah.
And it's this machine-esque quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that validation.
Yeah.
I love being on. But sometimes I have to turn up. It's a great reminder.
Oh, my God.
And my partner's where he's like, so you're taking a day off this week? I'm like, when, how, yeah. who, how am I going to do it?
Yeah.
But so let's do a little bit of like rapid fire. With this, like,
oh, I love a good rapid fire. Okay.
Okay. So 90s or Y2K fashion? Rapid fire.
Y2K.
Okay, great. Yeah, I love that.
90s.
What?
90s. Y2K. Oh, wait. I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I'm just going back and forth. Okay, continue.
Back and forth?
No, we're okay. Fine.
River or My Serotonin?
My Serotonin.
You heard it here first. It's a really good song.
Thank you.
And it's like short and sweet.
Thank you. Yes.
You know.
Thank you.
I
love River though, of course.
Yeah.
But okay, I'm not going to do the political answers. Continue.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Like, I love them both. It's like, okay.
They're being really challenging.
I know.
Loewe or Michael Kors? Because Michael Kors was the best
one. Oh. Well, you know, if I say one, then I can't get any clothes from the other.
Okay, so I set you up for that.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Well, it's me the fifth.
But I do think you're a Loewe.
I'm going to go Loewe.
I'm doing a really horrible job at all the choosing all of these.
What? No, you're great.
Okay, thank you. I need validation. I'm not a machine. I'm not a machine, but I need some serotonin right now. What are the, and, I want to be your Mona Lisa on a mattress.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. I don't understand that one, like the lyrics a little bit.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes, please.
It was basically like someone, like I was in bed with someone and they were basically like being like, you look like art right now. Oh. Like I could like frame you, mm-hmm. like you're.
But like.
But it was like a terrible situationship. So like I'm sort of making, I'm glamorizing it, but.
Okay. But like the, I want you to knock my lights out.
Yeah.
Like. Okay, it's you meant that truly.
There was a lot of longing in there. I mean, imagine how my husband felt when I was like, "Yeah, I wrote it about that situationship those years ago." He's like, "I love that."
He's like, "I thought that that was a fantasy."
Literally, so, exactly.
No,
he's like, "I support you. I love that. That's about that guy so much. I love you, love you."
What's something that you're trying on right now?
Ooh. Something I'm trying on right now?
Yeah, whether it be an emotion or a way of life or just like a thought process.
Okay. I'm really stepping into my Hannah Montana era.
Okay.
Okay. So with that, I'm trying to own my power, own my space, and be an icon.
You are an icon.
I'm trying.
There's no trying when you're doing it, quite literally.
Hopped off the plane.
The late ads seem to dream in the crowd again.
Welcome to the land of fame access. Whoa! Am I gonna fit in? I mean, best.
Short story about that. I was, my friend, and I went to Berklee College of Music, by the way.
What?
I'm multiple different things for songwriting. But I was busking in Central Park.
Yeah.
And that was the only song that I made money on.
Oh my God. It's a hit.
It was a
It's a hit.
It's it. Okay, so final thoughts. Anything that you think you just need to reiterate or you want the people to hear?
I mean, I really appreciate you taking the time today. It was such an honor. And my album called Tell My Therapist I'm Fine, and you can listen now.
Amazing. Yeah. Where can people find you?
You can find me at Bishop Briggs on all the platforms.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, and if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with Bishop, we're going to give away some signed Bishop's moments to people who are listening to this or watching. So all you have to do is head to my Instagram, PaulXLuxury, and make sure you're following me and Bishop, and then just comment your favorite takeaway, your biggest takeaway from this moment, and we'll pick three of you.
Ah.
Thank you for listening and being here.
Thank you. I'm obsessed with you.
Remember,
thank you.
Just try it on.
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
Ah, yes.
If you want to win one of three pieces of signed memorabilia from Bishop Briggs, head over to my Instagram at PaulXLuxury and make sure to share your biggest takeaway from the show on my most recent Instagram post with Bishop. Also, if you loved the show, would you be willing to rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts? It would mean the world to me. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.